New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1055. It's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang. And joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, it's downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
And joining me from his parents' house, it's Marty from Social Club Misfits joining us this week.
We are in the building. Yes, we are in a literal building.
Dude, my parents' house. What is this aesthetic? It's giving me 90s home goods.
Yeah. It's the aesthetic is Sopranos seasons 3 through 5. And that's what's
just
happening. I'm dead serious. My mom is Carmella. I was telling downtown Emily Brown, my mom is Carmella. Like right now, my mom's cooking lasagna. It's a whole vibe. I don't know why I left.
Is that your gold albums or something on the wall behind?
That's a ball right here. Yeah. You're talking about right here? Okay, yeah. So that's a ball, and that's from Frank Sinatra's house. I don't know why my parents have that. Oh. Okay, so if I show you this entire aesthetic of this room, there's like famous, like right here is The Godfather signed by the entire cast. Real stuff. The Passion of the Christ. I don't know why my parents have that. Signed by Mel Gibson. There's that. Then I have...
So they're movie people.
Yeah, this is actually... I'm actually in the theater room right now. Like, my parents are... My parents are doctors, so...
Got you. Okay. So you didn't grow up with a rough life. You grew up in a doctor's home.
Half of my life was neighbors stealing my stuff, living in like Fort Lauderdale, just bad. And then I think my dad was like, all right, we're not doing this anymore. I'm just going to go extra hard. And during high school, we moved into this house. So it was a big jump from going to like a D-list school, because we were kind of in like the hood area, and then we went to like Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, which is like an A-plus school, so it ended up working out.
Wait, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, man.
That one.
Dang.
Yeah, terrible news.
Yeah, that's rough. Well, I'm glad you're joining us today. Derek and Jamie are out, so we love... And this
I
is...
I love that hat, by the way.
I know, right?
Social club hat, baby. You know how we're doing it.
I wear it all the time. Do you see how worn out this thing is? It is great.
I love it. You wear it to those Orlando games?
Dude, I wear it.
While high-fiving the players on the...
Dude, I wear it everywhere. I mean, this thing is literally beat up. I got it at a Life Fest last summer.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah, man.
Awesome, man. Thank you for supporting.
Absolutely. That's the thing is I go see artists that I like, and I always end up hitting up the merch table. You know, I got to buy some stuff.
That means a lot. Listen, it matters for everyone. It matters.
I know, right? All right. So we have a great show in store for you guys. Royal Otis, one of our favorite artists, up and coming indie bands, joins us later. We feature them in the new issue of Relevant that just came out a couple weeks ago. But that's not the big news. The big news is this is a 2-episode celebration. He doesn't know I'm going to say this, but none other than our very own Jesse Carey has a momentous life milestone happening this weekend. So this is the Friday episode, the Tuesday episode, straddling it right in the middle on Sunday is Jesse Carey's 40th birthday. It's his physical age, not his mental or emotional age.
Yeah.
Because that still hasn't escaped middle school. But
it was stunted. It was stunted at 14. And 14. I just kind of liked it there. You know, you don't have to think too hard about stuff. And everything is funny at 14. The great thing about 14-year-olds is 14-year-olds are basically all sociopaths. They make fun of everything. And if you just stop... you know, developing emotionally there, you can never feel pain again. Just be like a 14-year-old. That is, I learned that at on-site.
This is like the sequel to 13 going on 30, but it's 14 going on 40. I'm getting a really good insight.
Oh, yeah.
Into who you
I like
are.
It.
This is just, this is just terrible. This is terrible therapy. Terrible counseling advice is just to regress. A lot of therapy, I have my own method. A lot of therapists teach you how to grow. You know, and mature and move to a new emotional place. I'm all about regressing to a time when your buddy fell off, you know, a bike and got hurt. It's hilarious. And you're not going to go render help. Like that is the age where you're impervious to everything because everything is a joke. You know, that is my, I'm going to write a therapy book about it. And it's going to be a big bestseller because it's so against the mold. But that's how I feel.
40 going on 14.
Yeah, 40 going on 14. reflections on a midlife man who lives like a,
reflections. What a great name.
Reflections on a life not lived. Like, what would that be? Reflections on a life poorly lived.
Yeah. Poorly lived. Yeah.
Irresponsibly lived.
Irresponsibly lived.
Yeah. All you have to do is continue to just think like a 14.
Reflections on a life stunted. There you go.
The stunted life. Yeah. And it's going to have like big fancy scripts.
The stunted life, but it's in the purpose driven life.
Yeah.
Stunted 101. The purpose driven
life font, like
purple,
but it's the stunted
like
life
script. Now, Marty, speaking of purple script, it's inspirational books in this home that of your parents that you are now visiting. Are there any bathrooms with like a wicker basket next to the toilet that has several books
with charisma magazines
and Prayer of Jabez and stuff?
Okay, so my mom has a prayer office and it's like prayer colossal over it and stuff like that. So that's cool. She's got a whole like TBN like bookshelf situation. There's a lot of dried flowers everywhere, you know, like in bowls, everything like that. There's acorns and stuff like that. It's definitely, I promise you guys at the end of this, I'm going to lift up my laptop and show you what used to be a pool table. And now that my parents are grandparents, they made it into Disney World, made out of Legos. It's insane. And I'm not even embarrassed by it. I'm like impressed by it. It's pretty crazy.
Are you a little jealous that it wasn't around in your own childhood?
It wasn't. My parents, so they always say like the parents you wanted are your kids have. So it's like the grandparents are really the parents that you wanted. So we never had this. I had a swing set that you would bash your teeth on. That's what I had. And you'd fall and like lose the air out of your chest. And you're like, you know, like that's what I had growing up. We didn't have, my parents were like, go outside. I'm like, there's gangs outside. Just go. It'll be fine. Join it. It's fine. Just go outside. Go outside. Okay, fine. I'm a Latin king now, Dad.
Is there any place in the home that has like a shrine to you at like the age of 17? Like
there's
pictures,
no pictures
or
of me,
trophies,
man,
or anything?
You're kidding.
There is no, I never won anything growing up. I didn't even show up to picture day at school. Dude, I never showed up to school at all, actually. I was a terrible kid. The only thing I really did learn in school was I stole a bunch of watches. This is a true story. Stole a bunch of watches and I sold them to staff. Teachers were buying watches from me. It was crazy.
Wait. Teachers were buying black market watches?
Where were you stealing watches from?
I ran a racket in my school and got like in serious trouble with the police and all these people. And so like I stole these watches. I think my dad bought watches to they weren't super, at the time it was like eBay just was invented. So it's like, you know, buy a lot of watches. And my dad had like 20, 30 watches and I would just take them. And then I would sell them to teachers and stuff. And I made like $1,000 when I was like 16, like seriously made that money. And my teacher was like, you're not going to amount to anything. You're hustling. You're doing this. And like that day, the police like arrested me in the back of like it's a whole situation. And nothing happened to me. I was totally fine. I got to keep the money and everything like that. But it was like a whole racket. I had the whole school like working for me at the time. I was like Randy in The Wire, where I had like a bag of candy. Like I was just hustling. I was just always wanted money to waste on junk. I don't know, to waste on pogs. I don't know what I was doing.
I'm interested in how you got caught, because what I'm picturing is some sort of 21 Jump Street situation where there's a new kid that comes to the school. Yeah. And for some reason, that kid looks like he's 28. He's very cool.
Yeah.
And he ensconces himself in the culture just because he heard there's like a watch ring going around, you know, new cool.
Yeah. When Kanye saw me, he became racist again. That's the 21 Jump Street story that I live. So dude, I came from a Christian school because I kicked out of normal school in middle school. Like normal, I was just not doing good. And so my parents put me in a private school. And anybody who knows going to a Christian private school, then going to a regular normal school where kids actually have cool outfits and stuff. Cause I was wearing my own, you know, I wore like the Freddy Krueger shirt in school and like khaki pants 5 days a week. So when I went to normal school, like it was total, I didn't have any friends. I just started from square one. So I figured, let me start selling stuff and making friends. And I ended up having a crime racket through the years of 2003 to 2005. Almost didn't graduate because of it. And then they could never track the money. That was the biggest issue, is they didn't know. They knew I sold like 50 watches. I was selling candy. I was selling stuff. I was just terrible. They knew I'd made the money because I ended up selling it to a teacher named Mr. Rodriguez. And he bought like two watches off me. And long story short, they didn't ever found the money. Well, so, they can prove
it. I like to think you probably laundered
it. My jaw is on the floor.
I like to think you like laundered it through like a Scholastic book fair. Like, oh, you know
that. I definitely stole books from that fair and resold them. It was a whole, like the Goodfellas. You remember Goodfellas where they're all wearing yellow sweaters because mm-hmm. they stole a truck of yellow sweaters? That was me. I was selling the yellow sweaters in school at a profit.
Well, this is a great chapter for Jesse's book that he's writing.
Yeah. This is going to be the intro. People were like, hey man, where'd you
the stunted life?
Where'd you get that awesome poster of a green Lambo? And you're like, oh, don't worry about it. I definitely didn't steal from the book fair.
I was little Bow Wow in Fast and the Furious 3. Do you remember that? Fast and Furious, he's like selling headphones and stuff. He's opening up a bag and he's a car that has the Hulk like punch the car. I don't even remember that movie. It's such a bad movie.
But it's Bow Wow. That's one of the better Fast and Furious movies.
It is the worst Fast and Furious movie.
Culture appropriation, man. Just fully culture. Like everyone there is not really from that part of like Japan. They're all from different. There's one girl who's white. They all speak English.
They're you know expats.
What I'm saying? Like, it's just, that's what it must be because, and then the Yakuza is there and they're like, you know what? We're not going to kill you. We're going to race. That's how we're going to solve this issue.
They're all GIs and expats and stuff. And that they all, that's why they all, yeah. That's the whole premise.
It was a crazy, Tokyo Drift was everywhere. Paul Walker, Vin Diesel's at the end of the movie. And you ever hear the story when he did that just to own the franchise? They gave him the franchise because he showed himself at the very end of it. I don't know if you guys know that,
That movie basically doesn't belong in that catalog.
Why it's wonderful.
It is a great movie, man. Han is great in it. I was Lil Bow Wow, then I evolved to Han. Yeah, I evolved to Han with the stolen murder. No one got hurt. That's all that matters.
Any film that involves some criminal enterprise settling a score, not through violence, but through some sort of competition. It's like Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone. We don't know why, but he's going to end up arm wrestling to determine the custody of his child.
He arm wrestled for a child at the end of, for a child. He arm wrestled.
For custody.
Custody for a child. Who wrote that movie? That's what I want to know. Jesse, have you ever seen Cobra?
Dude, it's funny you say that because I was watching Cobra literally the other night.
Guys was made from Cobra. Everyone likes The Other Guys with Will Ferrell. All those bad movies came from the movie Cobra. It's so awesome.
The reason if you watch Cobra, which is his movie, it's a movie starring Sylvester Stallone where he plays a character they call the Cobra. And there is literally some deranged cult that is just randomly attacking grocery stores at the beginning of the film. Is the plot.
Jeff Goldblum, is in it shooting up. I think something's happening. He's shooting somebody. It's bad.
And Stallone just rolls up on a motorcycle with a toothpick and single-handedly takes out the cult.
Shoots everybody. The plot of the film. No questions.
Yeah, just walks in there and very casually. Not tactically. He's in he's in the same jeans that he like trained in Rocky III, climbed a mountain.
Yes.
And he goes in and just walks in and takes out the whole cult. Marty, I don't know when the last time you watched Cobra, because like I said, it's on Netflix. I was actually watching it the other day.
He doesn't wear a police outfit. There's no identification. He's just in all black with sunglasses at night, shooting people.
Well, do you know why the plot makes literally makes no sense? There are huge holes in it and things just happen that don't make sense. They had an original cut, but the studio was like, this is way too... Like, Stallone, I think, wrote it, and that was when he was on a hot streak. He had won an Oscar for Rocky. And so he had a green light, and he wrote this long crime epic, and the studio was like, 3 hours is too long, man. We're going to trim this down to 90 minutes, and they just randomly cut scenes, and that's why the movie makes zero sense.
I need the uncensored cut that we could... I wish we could all jump on like a call and watch the movie and just commentary on it. Like, that's what I want to... I want to do that with Christian movies. Cameron, that's the podcast I want. I want to watch God's Not Dead 7, Tokyo Drift, And I want to just comment. Have you ever seen God's Not Dead? My mom has all four of them or five of them. They're so, whoever wrote that was just a white dude. Because there's a one, the first scene of the movie, the guy's like, "Hi, I'm Asian. That's the country where I'm from." I'm dead serious. That's what happens. He introduces himself by saying, "I'm Asian and I'm from Asia," and they don't allow the Bible in the country I'm from, which is Asia. So they like, he made sure that, you know, he was Asian and he didn't have Bibles. And he's like, "I'm from Asia." Like, what? That's a big continent, right? Like, what are we talking about here, guy? He's like, I'm from one of 17 countries in Asia. Like, I'm dead serious. It starts. I'm gonna film it and just send it to you guys.
The writers are like, they'll get the idea. Oh my gosh.
They're like, we gotta write Gilmore Girls after this. We'll just knock this one out real quick.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. All right, well, moving the show along. Stay tuned. Up next, it's Relevant Buzz. To none other than Social Club Misfits and DJ Last, none other than Marty Marr and Fern. The song is Who Is That? The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music. Okay, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
All right, Emily, tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week.
Okay, first off, we got to start with some myth busting. Who here saw the image of the Pope and the Balenciaga jacket going around this past weekend?
So crazy.
Pope trip.
I tweeted it.
Pope trip. Incredible.
I got hoodwinked. I thought it was real.
Yeah,
wait, it
turns out
real?
It was fake, guys.
What?
It's not real. That was an AI-generated image. Yeah, it duped everybody. Because it looks so realistic. Like there's multiple images, but this guy, he's remaining anonymous because he does not want to be known, but he did share his first name, which is Pablo. He created this image using artificial intelligence tool called Midjourney. That creates these very realistic looking fake images. And he posted it to Reddit just because he thought it was funny. But then it made it to Twitter where everyone was like, wow, the Pope looks so cool. He looks awesome. And they just spread it everywhere. And it turns out he does not have a Balenciaga jacket. But it got everyone, like literally everyone.
It got everyone. Yeah, it was spread all over the weekend. And it's the same software that did the photos of like Trump being arrested and all these like celebrity things that are not real at all. Basically, what happened with Midjourney is you can't believe anything you see on your screen now.
Have you guys played with it very much, Midjourney?
No.
I have not.
It's really, really fun. But you're also like, you wonder like what now whenever I see like Midjourney pictures out in the wild, I'm for people who haven't used it, it's basically like a Discord server that you just write, you just write out what you want to see, you know, but it's really hard to like get your language right to like make it translate exactly what is in your head. I'm one, like, did the person who did the Pope coat just say Pope in massive white puffer? Like,
it was Balenciaga specifically.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. He was like,
I think he said he played around with it a little bit before he got them. But once he got it, he was like, oh, these are great. Let me share them. But okay, I'm curious, Jesse, since you've messed around with it, is there a way to tell when it's a Midjourney image? Or like, do you just have to kind of know?
Well, Midjourney is the most realistic one. I've played around with a lot of them. There's probably 20 AI text to image generators, and they usually come off really distorted and weird.
Like, yeah, I've done a little blurry.
Yeah, I've done like celebrities riding unicorns and junk like that. They look like totally distorted. Did you see the Will Smith trying to eat pasta one going around the last couple days?
Will Smith. I saw the Chris Rock. It's like Chris Rock's view of Will Smith smacking him. Have you seen that one? That one's pretty good. I gotta say, he's like, I was like in there like posing like it's pretty crazy.
But usually you can tell when they're fake. This one just looks so real. That's what was.
It doesn't help that he's in Balenciaga either with the whole controversy and the whole kid thing going on. It just doesn't.
It just created all this controversy because everyone was thinking the Pope was like endorsing Balenciaga considering all the drama. But then it turned out he was not wearing it. They did say that I think if you zoom in on like it's either his right or his left hand, you can kind of tell that's how you can tell it's generated. But I mean, I'm scrolling Twitter. I'm not zooming in on the Pope's hand. I'm looking at that like belt that he's got on and the big cross. Like I'm looking at everything else. So, but yeah,
it usually is the fingers. Yeah. It's usually fingers that give it
away.
Have
you ever heard that?
But
sorry, Ken.
Six months from now, it'll fix the fingers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's getting better so fast. Like right now it's fingers, but I mean, pretty soon we won't be able to tell, you know. But
have you guys ever heard that thing where billionaires don't wear coats? This is random, but like you ever heard that thing on Succession that just came out the new season? That's one of the things that they learn hanging out with billionaires. They don't wear coats. So the Pope should never wear a coat, right? He's a billionaire because they're always being driven from point A to point B. They never have to put a coat on. They're never in the cold.
No. I find that interesting though. The Pope mobile.
It's from Succession. The guy was like, you know, billionaires do not wear coats because they're constantly being in the back of a car. It gets really hot. So they don't have to drive. They don't have to walk anywhere. So where's the Pope going that he needs to wear a coat really? You know, like he's not.
Isn't the Pope mobile a convertible or is it one of those bubbles?
It's like plastically wrapped, right?
It's got the bubble. Yeah. Yeah. It's got bulletproof bubble or else people would be bing, 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 you know, going after him.
But you bring a good point because if he's walking around at the Vatican, right? Or he's up on that balcony addressing the crowds or whatever, and it's cold out, he's going to be rocking a coat. Does he have like a custom puffer in the papal closet or is it just some like thick robe, you know? Like what is his outerwear situation? I'm genuinely
I think he's got the cape. I think he's got the cape and robe situation.
That,
and he's got like
very warm.
It only warms his back, the cape, right? It only hits the back.
The heaters. On the balcony's got little heaters at his feet and then the doors are open, so he's got heat coming in from the building.
I want to know what he wears like chilling at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Read my mind
like
right
he's
there.
Not wearing all that. Like he's got like a matching sweatsuit situation or something. I think he's got
Pope PJs.
Pope PJs. Yeah,
he's got
Pope
some heaters in there. He's got some all white Air Force Ones, just tons every day, brand new ones. You know, he's doing something. Those guys are given, right? Are they given a lot of stuff? Like that's how they do it.
He needs to do like a Vogue 73 questions so we can like see his house and like he can answer all these videos and these questions in a video.
Okay. So number one thing this week is myth busting. The Pope did not rock Balenciaga. Okay. What else is going on this week?
The next thing we want to talk about is this new upcoming docuseries that FX is releasing next month. It is called The Secrets of Hillsong, not to be confused with the other docuseries that came out last year about Hillsong. But this is a new 4-part docuseries, and this one features the very first interviews with Carl Lentz and his family since he left Hillsong, New York City in 2020.
What network is this?
FX.
FX and Hulu. Yeah, it's like legit. It's the Vanity Fair. So the first one was Page Six reporting, and they were very much tabloid, had no access to anything, and it was thrown together. And if you watched it, it was a lot of you could tell they don't really even understand
they
church
do not,
culture.
Absolutely,
you
know what
I mean? It was a lot of like, ooh, those weirdos sing. They stand in a room and look in one direction.
I
and
had
sing,
a
sir.
You
know,
how
that kind
dare
of stuff.
You guys? Like, I was like, I've done that since 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They asked people. Yeah. They asked people to serve without pay.
I felt like Bane. Yeah. I was like, I was born in the dark. You merely adapted to it. I was
now listen to how messed up this was. A lot of people that go here actually give 10% of their income.
Yeah.
To this.
Yeah. So this one, the Vanity Fair authors, it's two guys that actually attended the church for like 5 years. And that's why Carl and his family agreed to the interview, because the Vanity Fair authors like attended the church and they felt that they would be more fair with the story. And so I know Carl. I mean, just listeners probably know this, but I know Carl. Carl and his family actually moved to Florida. They moved to Bradenton and lived here for about a year and a half. And so we kept in touch over the last several years. And so I kind of had a first row, kind of seat for their journey over the last couple of years. And I kept very, very quiet about it. But I knew about this. I wasn't being quiet about it, like to hide anything. I was just being respectful of their private journey, you know? And, you know, as this is becoming more public, I'll probably talk more about it and he'll probably talk more about it as the year goes on. But I can tell you this, like, I have no idea what the documentary will say, and neither do they. I do know that unlike the first documentary, this film crew came to their home and interviewed Carl, Laura, and the three children for 5 days. Morning to night. Wow. Carl was not in the room when they interviewed Laura and the kids. They did not have edit. They did not have, you know, any sort of oversight. And then the family flew up to New York for more follow-up interviews. So there was a lot of conversations. They also then interviewed a lot of the victims, people involved with Australia and other stories involved with Hillsong. So it wasn't just the New York story. It's a very, very thorough documentary from all accounts. It's Vanity Fair, so quality journalism, obviously. It's reputable. And if you saw the Hulu documentary about like the Falwells and stuff, you kind of see the caliber. So it's something that it probably is a little bit better than a Discovery Plus tabloid thing. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with this. But Carl, and it also came out this week, the news with the family that, we've known for a couple of months, but they recently moved out to Tulsa. They're no longer in Florida. They moved out to Tulsa, and Carl has a part-time job at Mike Todd's church out there. It's not a ministry position. It's not a public position. It's an administrative position behind the scenes as he continues his kind of like restoration journey. It's been 2.5 years. He did, a lot of therapy. He had a clerical cubicle job, not a clerical job, but a cubicle job for 2 years. He's done rehab, several stints. He's been in therapy. The family's still together. And this is his first kind of position in the ministry world.
I'm so happy he's back. I'll just say it. Like, I love Carl. I think he's incredible. I think he's an incredible leader. I think that everybody fails. I mean, his is just a bigger fail, and he'll probably say it because he's had such a big platform. But I have been affected by his ministry, and I have been affected by Carl Lentz and Hillsong and stuff. So I am excited to see him. And I do think that as believers, I mean, you probably will say this in a second, Cam, but like, we have to be able to give people a second chance. Like, it doesn't disqualify them for life. Now they can't ever live. You know, like, I just, come on, like, he's an incredible leader for years. We all loved him. And now, like, he's being villainized. But I will say my favorite thing about Carl is that he admitted he messed up. He didn't hide from me. He said, guys, I messed up. Here's the truth. He's not one of those pastors that, hey, I didn't really do anything wrong. It was the devil that blamed it on. No, he said, I messed up and I'm going to get away. And like, what, that's that. Thank you for being one of the few leaders I've ever seen say, I messed up, you know?
My thing, I'm agreeing with you, man. My thing is like, if he had tried to shortcut this process, I'd be like, and I'm a friend, right? I would to his face tell him you're wrong. But I mean, it's been 2.5 years and his family is still together. And the woman who had every right in the world to walk away from this dude is standing with him. That says something to me right there. And, and she had, it's not unconditional. Yeah. I mean, so the fact 2.5 years later, they're still together says something to me.
It's a good redemption story.
And,
right there.
It's a redemption story. The Christians should be about grace. And 2.5 years later, the fact that he's doing everything that we as Christians should hope he would have done, and the journey's not over, and he's not like trying to get back in the pulpit. But it'll be interesting to see what he and they said in this documentary and what their message is this year as they kind of continue this journey. I don't know what the documentary says. I mean, he told me about it, but I'm curious to see how it came out.
Is the emphasis of the film particularly his situation, or is it a broader look at Hillsong?
It's a four part.
Okay.
It's a four part. And I think there are probably one or two of the parts, but it definitely goes into Brian's father, a lot of the other stuff that's come out since Carl.
Yeah.
It's a four part. So the first two parts come out May 16th on Hulu and FX simultaneously. And then May 26th are the second two parts. So, we'll see what happens, but, yeah, they're in Tulsa. So if you hang out around ORU or the mall or whatever, you might
if you go to sports clips, you might see him in a chair getting his haircut.
Yeah.
Real talk. Yeah. Tulsa had it wasn't an official franchise of one of the sports clips thing. This is now granted, this was about 20 years ago. And, but they had one that they had, you could literally shoot hoops. What? Like they had a basketball court. That you could shoot
in
around.
Sports clips?
Is that where the headquarters
while
at?
While you were getting your haircut?
No, while you were waiting your turn. While you were waiting your turn.
Okay, while the scissors are to your head.
I don't think this. It was like a sport cuts or something with a Z. It was off brand, it felt like they actually somehow came into possession of this old basketball gym and just put barber chairs around it. It was a great concept.
That's amazing.
People getting
a head smacked with a ball because you try to do a three-pointer like Curry.
I'm just telling you, waiting. There's nothing more boring than just waiting to get your hair cut. You know what I mean? Like it's awkward.
So, but like at the barbershop, you get cooked. So like you're gonna get out there and like shoot and stuff, and like all these dudes getting their hair cut are just like roasting you the entire time.
I'd be a part of those roasts.
I'm not doing pickup ball. It works.
Makes it more fun.
I'm not doing pickup ball in front of the barbershop. No,
makes it way more fun. Yeah. You can sit there and noodle on the phone, play a little Wordle or whatever, or you can get up there, get some shots up.
Okay? You can watch World Star in the Dominican barbershop, or you can go to this one and you can play basketball. You can watch people getting their heads cut off. I don't know if you guys know these Miami barbershops. They put TV on that you've never seen. It's like police videos, like auditing and stuff like that constantly. They always have uncensored videos. Like every barbershop in Miami is like, if it's owned by Puerto Ricans, it's going to have some World Star or something. It's a crazy smack DVD. At least this one's wholesome. At least this one doesn't have Eyes Wide Shut being played in front of a four-year-old while he's getting his hair cut in that little cushion. That's my barbershop. My barbershop is actually a Christian barbershop, actually, which is funny. I just started going to a Christian one. So we actually were watching Fast and the Furious yesterday, Cam. You would have loved it. That's how I quoted
solid
it.
Solid Christian That's movie.
Hilarious. Yeah, solid Christian movie.
Dude, here's Tulsa in a nutshell. When I went to college there and I was walking around the mall and I realized that the music that I was hearing overhead at the mall was Our God is an Awesome God.
Amen.
And I was they're playing Christian music at the mall. Yeah. Where am I?
What? So,
yeah, man, that's Tulsa. All right. What else you got, Emily?
The last thing that I'm really excited to talk about is last week, Lana Del Rey dropped her latest album. And on it was a very special interlude by someone we all know. Pastor Judah Smith had a feature on Lana Del Rey's album.
Lana is so strange. One of the most beautiful musicians, the music is just evocative and vulnerable, and this album is incredibly confessional and just really moving, but also explicit. Like the F word in the hook and crazy and very sexually explicit and stuff. And then, but she goes to Judas Church. And so in the middle of one of his sermons, she gets her phone out and starts recording one of his sermons on her phone. And so the interlude after track four is 4 minutes of one of Judah's sermons talking about the fact that he struggles with vanity in the sense that he always thought when he preaches, he was making it about God, but he realized that his pride ultimately, when he was really good at preaching, and he realized that really when he was preaching, he was making it about himself. And so Lana was realizing that her own struggle was the same thing about vanity. And even her desire for relationships and intimacy and stuff like that. It was selfish and it was vanity. And so like she played this clip from Judah's sermon and this thematic album about vanity and selfishness and the pursuit of pleasure and all this stuff. And Judah Smith clip is in the middle of it. And it's literally right after two explicit songs. It's the craziest juxtaposition, but you hear it recorded on her phone. And here's a clip of it.
After your neighbor. That's a heck of a life. You get to love your children in front of you. You get to love. You ever talk to somebody? I want a new life. I don't love my wife anymore. I don't love my kids anymore. I'm missing out on life. They're usually my age. Does that sound like love? It's a life dominated with lust. And for too long they've been holding on. And finally, they just get weak and they say, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so it's 4.5 minutes long. It is, again, just like a snippet of the sermon, but it really does sum up like so much of these ideas that Lana's talking about in her new album.
Lust and idolatry. And,
yeah.
Right? I gotta hear this album. I gotta hear it
it's
now.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It is explicit, yeah. So.
I thought you were joking at first, but oh, perfect, no. Then I want to hear it. but I didn't know. I mean, I could definitely, Judah is like an amazing communicator and he has the whole vibe, but I didn't know I thought that was a joke. I didn't think he was really on it. I heard someone tell me that. My wife was like, you know, Judah Smith's on the album. I'm like, yeah.
Well, okay. When she announced the track list a couple months ago, or when she announced the album a couple months ago, you know, she said, like, it mentioned there's a few different features on there, and one of them was Judah Smith. And I think a lot of people thought, like, that surely that can't be, you know, Pastor Judah Smith. That's got to be someone else. But then she came out and was like, no, I want to thank my pastors, Judah Smith, for allowing me to record his sermon and include it in the album. And so everyone was kind of like, what world is a Judah Smith sermon going to be on a Lana album? And then you listen to the song, or you listen to the full album with the song on it, and you get it. And I think, yeah, like Cameron said, like it really is so interesting how this sermon does sum up a lot of the things that like she's thinking through. And I think the best line in the sermon is actually sort of at the end, but he says, I used to think my preaching was mostly about you and you're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I've discovered my preaching is mostly about me. And like, that's how it's just like a mic drop moment. So good.
Did Justin Bieber ever have Judah Smith?
He did. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
he did an Easter album.
He did scripture reading. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, man, Judah's killing it right now.
What was funny is like watching mainstream media like be confused by Judah. Like, number one, they didn't know who he was. They're like, you know, Hillsong pastor Judah Smith. And it's like, okay, first of all, he's never been to Hillsong, you know. Yeah. But number two, like, they don't know what a sermon is. So they thought like he was paraphrasing scripture. And it's like,
I was reading another article about it, and they were like, he was quoting scripture and then using his own words and paraphrasing it. And I was like, yeah, there's a word for that. It's called a sermon.
It's called a sermon. It's called preaching. Yeah. You know?
So it's very interesting to watch, like non-church media outlets.
Music journalists. Yeah. Music journalists be confused by what in the world that is.
Like, just come to Relevant Magazine. Like, we got this.
Yeah. I love it. I love when church and culture connect. That's the coolest.
I
love it.
I want to hear an artist do one, but it's like, you know, just like a straight down the middle, like, you know, suburban evangelical pastor that's like, all right, I'm going to break down the word cares. See, we're going to start with the C, Christlikeness. And it's just like a cheesy acronym right in the middle of like the most fire track ever. And just
Arctic Monkeys new album has a Rick Warren clip in the middle of it. Like, and the acronym goes in between like every other track through the album.
Matt Chandler here featured
Christ
on the
awareness, righteousness, evangelism, savior.
Empathy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, please.
When I count to three, put your hand up.
Emily, I love the fact that we had, like, you know, Carl Lentz, big kind of in our lane, kind of big news. We had this big Lana Del Rey culture and faith colliding clip moment. And you started off with the Pope Balenciaga photo. Like,
it has been on my mind all week.
Unimportant.
No, I think Emily's got her finger on her pulse. It was all I saw for like 2 days. It was
very important. Okay. So,
the dope Pope.
The dope Pope. I love that.
That's good. All right. All right, moving on. Stay tuned. Up next, Royal Lotus joins us. You're listening to Dwellers. The song is Driving. A lot of you are probably doing that right now.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
Well, our guest today is Royal Otis. Royal Maddle and Otis Pavlovic are two Australian best friends who've been creating some pretty great music over the last few years. We sat down with them to talk about their quick rise to become one of the most exciting up-and-coming indie bands and the new music they've been dropping lately. They're featured in the spring issue of Relevant, which, if you've been listening for the last couple of weeks, you know, just came out and is available right now over at relevantmagazine.com. Just click on the magazine tab. You can read our feature with them. But here's part of our conversation with Royal Otis.
I think a good place to start would be really going back to the beginning. So like, how did each of you first get started in music?
I think when I started, my dad played guitar. And so he was always kind of like writing songs and singing songs. And I started copying him and then slowly learned how he played. And then after a while, just gradually got more and more, I guess, into it and then learning different songs and then started kind of trying to come up with my own. Roy?
I just got in a lot of trouble at school and I started seeing a school therapist who was a music teacher. So I just ended up playing music through that. And yeah, it's just to occupy my mind.
Did it start off like just kind of having fun, or did y'all go into it intentionally like you wanted to make something together?
We definitely wanted to make something. Like we had a whole plan sort of thing. We didn't stick to the plan, but we were going to release things in waves, and like, so it would be like a you know, demo sort of sounding stuff, then bedroom sounding stuff, then a bit more hectic, and just like with the production just progress and progress.
Like, yeah, natural progression.
What made y'all change from the plan?
Life's too short, man.
The change was we ended up just getting in the studio and then just going, no bedroom demos. We used the demos, like the songs that we had already written that were demos, but we went straight to the studio instead. Because our friend, well, Roy's friend at the time, I don't know him, but he had a studio just around the corner. So we ended up going there for a few weeks and recording our first EP.
It was a bit of both. Like, it was fun.
Yeah.
Just felt right.
Yeah.
Or are there any other bands that you think like influence your sound?
I wouldn't really say bands do. I like solo artists more than I do bands. And like Frank Ocean, I think is like, he's done it amazing start to finish. He would be one of my biggest influences. I think for you, Otis, it's a bit more old school.
Yeah, I would say some bands influence my music taste for sure. But
like The Cure, would you say?
Cure, yeah. Joy Division, all that kind of 80s, new wave era.
Modern Lovers.
And then also he's got his own stuff, Jonathan Richmond, which I like a lot. His solo stuff. Velvet Underground, we both like.
Oh yeah, Velvet Underground, my god, yes. Also Sinead O'Connor. Oh, love her stuff. Like that, what's that one that you used to listen to after school?
Empress New Clothes.
and Prison New Clothes.
Just love that track.
I do want to ask about the name of the EP, Sofa Kings. What, where is that from?
It's kind of like a, it's a bit of a pun that is related to our next single that I think is coming out on the 31st of March called Sofa King. But we just like wanted to make our EPs sound like they were a company name rather than a, like a band, you know, like we had Bar and Grill, which we're just expanding our empire and digging into different companies, and it's good. Just stupid, really.
Hey, as long as it's, y'all are having fun, I feel like that's the key.
Yeah, right? That's it. That's it, Emily, man. You got it.
That was Royal Otis. Make sure to check out their latest EP, Sofa Kings. It's out now. And check out our feature with them in the new issue of Relevant. It's out now. Stay tuned up next and see your feedback. Listening to Fleece. The song is It's the Life.
Hey, if you like this podcast, but you might like it better if there were no ads, you can do that. Head over to relevantmagazine.com and sign up for Relevant Plus. For just a couple bucks a month, you get this podcast ad-free. You get ad-free unlimited reading at relevantmagazine.com, including the full podcast and magazine archives, our beautifully designed digital issue, and a little more. Check out all the info right there on the Relevant Plus tab at relevantmagazine.com.
Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, we asked you, we got talking about reality competition shows, reality TV. I admitted that I have been on a, you know, this hot new reality.
Survivor obsession?
Survivor kick. I've been watching Survivor for the first time, and I'm still watching it. I have been updating the staff every day about the episodes that I've been binging the night before. I am watching the current season now. I am on the current season. I've caught all the way up to the
39.
No, 44. I'm a 44.
Did you start at the beginning? Like with
No. No, I started.
There's some good beginning clips. There's some good clips.
Remember Rupert? Rupert?
Rupert.
That guy.
I watched one when it came out, and then I didn't watch it ever again. And then I caught back up at 40. So
I'm trying to get him to watch a season that has Ozzy on it because I loved Ozzy.
Remember Boston Rob? What an icon.
Boston Rob.
Yeah. I know Boston Rob because he was in 40. It was all the winners from the previous. It was Winners at War. So I met all your big Pavlova or whatever her name is. Like all your characters that you guys were talking about. You know. Anyway, I'm watching Survivor.
They are straight up icons in the Survivor world. You know, is Rupert still around? Does he still rock that tie dye with the big beard? You guys remember Rupert?
No, I think because he went to jail for tax evasion, they don't associate with him anymore.
If you win money on Survivor, that should be untaxable, in my opinion. Like Uncle Sam does not need...
I won this in the jungle. That is out of sight of your jurisdiction.
Thank you. Uncle Sam, hands off Survivor money. That, you know?
I got a staph infection from sitting on a log. I deserve this $1 million.
I had to lie to my best friend's face and vote him off an island in front of millions of people. You're not taking a dime. You know, tax man.
hey, at the end of 43, spoiler alert, the guy who won for the first time ever, like as he was handed the money, as he won it, he said, thank you. I'm donating all $1 million to veterans with PTSD and disabilities.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
I'm not taking a dollar of this. Here you go.
It's amazing he, like, to be rich when you get money. Yeah, it's okay. It's amazing
he's rich.
Please tell me he has money. No, he did that.
He's 51 years old. He has a wife and three kids. And he's struggling, but his dad and uncles had PTSD and injuries from the war. And it's been a lifelong thing. He works in an ER. He's not a doctor. He's like a catheter guy. He's just a working man. But his whole family has struggled because of the war and veterans issues. And he's like, they need it more than me. I have a good job. And he donated all $1 million. And I was just like, that's everybody's in tears. Isn't that crazy?
That is awesome.
At the end of 43.
I love that, man.
Really cool.
Feel bad for making fun
of that is awesome. And by the way, there's no shame in a catheter related profession. I was out to dinner with some people, you know, like a grown up dinner where you kind of, hey, so what do you do for a living? You know, and we're all kind of chit chatting. And I asked one guy, and he's like, he just looked at me dead in the eyes and he goes, catheter sales, and just stared at me. I'm like, that's cool. People need them. I mean, I'm sure it's a good business, you know?
Cool, man.
So we went to Twitter, asked you guys for your ideas for a brand new reality TV competition series. You hit us up at Relevant Podcasts, and here are some of our favorite replies. There are a lot of them, okay. By the way. You guys have a lot of ideas.
Yeah. Ben Stroop had a few, but this one's might be my favorite. It's called Am I Straight? And he describes it as a scared straight / Nathan for You crossover. That kids from the suburbs who think they're tough are dropped off in a rough neighborhood. Rough has quotes around it. Everyone else is a hired actor, but the kids don't know that. Whoever goes home crying last wins.
I mean, I'd watch it.
Yeah. I love Nathan For You, so anything Nathan For You-esque,
yeah.
I'm in.
Wait, my wife and I were talking, Braxton Nutt says, my wife and I were talking, Love at First Sight spinoff, a marriage retreat with the Walls Up component. How would that work?
What does he mean, Love is Blind?
Love is Blind, but still, like, what are you doing? Separating the couples? You know who the other, you know it's your wife.
What's I guess because you can't see them. I think
you know who it is, though.
Yeah, I see the vision. We just need to think about it a little bit.
I like John B's, and I can only assume it's John B of Outer Banks fame. Yeah, I know he's a big fan.
I think it's the '90s R&B singer John B.
I know he. Or it's the serial protagonist or S Town protagonist John B. Okay, hosts/judges of long winning reality shows compete against each other in a different reality competition each week. Gordon Ramsay has to sink. Simon Powell does the Amazing Race. RuPaul on Survivor. It'd be amazing. I'm not gonna lie. I'm here for it. I want to see Jeff Brost. You know, like cooking. Like is it cake or something?
I always want to see the hosts like competing in the competitions because they're just sitting there looking nice, and I'm like, I need you to stand on a log for an hour straight and tell me if you can do this.
Yeah, Jeff.
Don't they have it? It's called Dancing with the Stars, right? They all just go to Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah.
We just get to see them dance in a ballroom. It's very nice.
Jeff Probst is an amazing host, by the way.
He really is.
He has a skill. It is a skill.
Has he been the entire host
the entire time? And he makes self-deprecating jokes. So he's been doing this for 22 years. And like, dude, the man is 61 years old and looks like he's not a day over 38. Like he is an Adonis. Well,
and he takes it serious. That's what makes it fun. Is like he's into it.
Skincare
you know,
routine.
He cares, you know?
He's out there in Living Fiji, man. It's all the salt and the papayas and the, you know.
Yeah.
He's living the good
life.
Who's
that other actor who has never aged and he was on Rob Lowe? Like he never aged. Lowe. He aged very slowly, like some Pharrell level aging. Like
Pharrell,
from Tommy dude. Boy. To like even all these new shows, I'm like, he still looks great.
And then there's like Steve Martin, who turned 50 at age 20 and just stayed.
Yeah, I got the Steve Martin hair right now. I love Steve Martin. That's why he's my inspiration for this. This and Ellen DeGeneres. Got the Steve Martin hair going on here.
So Bethany says, it's called True Worshippers. Youth group bands battle it out by playing worship songs that are different, but share the same title.
I love it.
So you give them a title, you have to write a totally different worship song. I like it.
I think that's hilarious. I think that would be great. I think, you know, when I first got saved, the first time I went to church, I didn't know that they didn't write those songs. I thought the person singing it wrote it. And I walked up to the worship leader. I'm like, this is like Inside Out. It was a Hillsong song. I'm like, Inside Out. I'm like, how did you, This could be a huge song. He's like, what the heck are you talking about? I'm like, you wrote it, right? Because I just didn't know. I'm like, he's like, right. No, it's a song. I'm like, so you're just doing karaoke. I the whole time I thought that you wrote it because I just never experienced church. I was like, oh, I thought I was, yeah.
He's like, and do you want to, would you like to buy a watch? At the very end of your conversation.
Yeah. And then he was like, actually, you can't say worship leader because they copyrighted that. You guys hear about that?
Yeah.
You guys hear about that?
Dude, we were part of that.
Last week's episode?
No. We were part of that getting out. They were not happy with us. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, are you serious?
We got some emails.
Oh, okay. You're like, Jason's like, we're going to cut this entire part out.
No. We can tell the story. So we saw the rogue worship leader posted on social media that he had been contacted legally that he can't use the term worship leader by Worship Leader Magazine. And so we posted about that.
Worship Leader Magazine.
And then Worship Leader Magazine got very upset with us that we were misrepresenting what happened. So we then posted what they had to say. And mm-hmm. so then they posted all these like statements about the misinformation campaign about all this. So we kind of caused all that. So
I love it. That's great. I love the chaos. Go Relevant. But yeah. I didn't know there was a Worship Leader Magazine.
Yeah, it's a Worship Leader Magazine. So here's the thing. It was a whole bunch of misunderstanding and our coverage was accurate. Okay. Our coverage was accurate. What happened was they own a trademark. They do to Worship Leader Magazine, just like I own the trademark to Relevant Magazine. Mm. I do not own the word Relevant, nor do they own the words Worship Leader. Okay. So there were accounts on Facebook that were confusing the brand Worship Leader and somebody at Worship Leader kind of had flagged, hey, by the way, this is like looking like they're trying to co-op our brand. And so Facebook went too far in flagging too many accounts that use the words Worship Leader, and Rogue Worship Leader was one of those accounts. And so he went public saying Worship Leader is complaining to Facebook about me and they're trying to say they own the copyright. It was Facebook that went too far, not Worship Leader. Okay. And it was not legal and it wasn't copyright enforcement, blah, 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 blah. It was Facebook just doing what Facebook does.
Well, but it gave me a great idea.
What's that?
And so I have trademarked the term Worship Leader and I will be pursuing litigation.
I actually pursued
an idea. I've
talked to legal.
The
legal at Relevant has helped me out.
I mean, you planted the seed, and I just want a small piece of every tithe. That's it.
And I'm going to trademark lead pastor, so no one can use that anymore. Just lead pastor.
I love it. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. All right. Well, that'll do it for your feedback. It's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
All right. So earlier in the show, our very own Marty admitted that he had a little hustle going in high school, selling watches and candy and other things to make friends at the real school that he attended.
Cards, and the whole thing.
The whole thing. And so we got us thinking, we wanted to know, did you have a hustle in school growing up to make a little extra cash on the side that maybe your parents didn't know about? And if so, what was it? How'd you make a little extra cash outside of a normal
job? This wasn't high school. This was middle school. But I would, I remember distinctly a babysitter left over. Remember they were like little transparent little tackle box things. That had like
little squares.
Exactly. It had like beads and strings and stuff. And the babysitter was like, hey, this will be something to do when we'll come babysit. And she left it. I saw an opportunity. And me and my brother, we threw together a couple of quick friendship bracelets and, walked around the neighborhood selling them, basically obligating our neighbors to purchase them, even though they were objectively terrible friendship bracelets, But if you use enough guilt or like, hey, we're, I think we were using some line like, oh, we're trying to learn the nuance, about business or whatever. Suckers, we're just trying to pawn off some cheap bracelets that our babysitter left over. Thanks for the $6, sucker.
Wait, $6 for a friendship bracelet?
That's expensive. You should go with a $5.
I found out my kid in third and fourth grade, I pack his lunch every day. I found out he was going to school, selling all of his lunch items to the other kids, getting the cash, and then going up to the concession stands and getting junk food.
Listen, you should be proud of him. Yeah, absolutely. You should be proud of him.
And I was paying, you know, added up, I'm paying $6-7 bucks for what's in his lunchbox. He was getting $10-12 going up there eating it. Like a king, just flipping his lunch every day.
Flipping.
Like, he's like eight years old. I was so mad at him
when
I found out.
That's a good TV show right there. There you go. Kids flipping lunches.
Kid hustlers. Yeah.
Do you guys remember selling world's famous chocolate bars in school? Remember those? Yeah. World's Finest, I think it was called. And it would come in like a whole box and had like four flavors, like milk chocolate, dark chocolate, crispy, and then caramel. And then you'd sell it and stuff. Yeah, that was also a hustle. I'm pretty sure everyone had to do in middle school.
Well, not only that, I remember elementary. Wrapping paper had a moment where it's like, you gotta sell that wrapping paper.
Yes.
Or the band's not gonna have.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
It's like, dude, who's... I don't want this expensive.
Why is it on us to do it? Like, why was it on us? The schools had zero money.
What do you mean the marching band? What happened to the marching band budget? Why are we wholesaling wrapping paper? Like, give me a break.
I have to buy my own drumsticks. Like, what are we doing
here? I got to manage a bunch of wrapping paper inventory just so.
I got to keep the money folded in my backpack and hopefully no one steals it out of an envelope.
Yeah. I don't know.
You could get jumped on the way to school.
Yeah. Who knows?
All right. Hit us up. Tell us your elementary school hustle or middle school hustle or high school hustle. Hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Royal Otis for joining us. Make sure to check out our feature with them and the new issue of Relevant. The spring issue is available now. You can read the ad-supported version at the website. Just click on the magazine tab. It's right there. If you want to see the beautiful, enhanced, interactive edition, that the design is, it looks like our print edition. It's beautiful, but guess what? It's even better because it's digital and interactive and has a lot of... you know, music and stuff you can watch and move around. It's really cool. You can get that by becoming a subscriber to Relevant Plus. Members get an ad-free viewing experience at relevantmagazine.com. You get an ad-free version of this podcast. You get an exclusive subscriber podcast each week as well, and more to come this year. Plans start as low as $250 a month, and you can find out all the info by clicking the Relevant Plus tab right there at relevantmagazine.com. Also, while you're at the site, make sure to check out all of our daily content we're publishing. If it's too much content covering the intersection of faith and culture every day, you can just get the best of the best by signing up for our newsletter. It's our top five trending stories. We'll send it to your inbox every weekday morning. You can sign up right there on the homepage at relevantmagazine.com or on the sidebar of any of the article pages. And of course, you can just follow us on all the socials as well. We push everything out on Facebook and Twitter every day, and a couple of things over on Instagram and TikTok. Marty, thanks for joining us, dude. Everybody, check out their new album. It's called Everybody Loves a Comeback Story. It's phenomenal. If you haven't checked out their library, head over to Spotify and Apple Music and check out all their stuff. They are one of my favorite hip-hop groups, and we love that you guys hang out with us and are friends of the podcast and stuff, dude. We always have a blast hanging out with you. Thanks for being on the show.
You guys are great.
And on that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Marty.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. On Sunday, April 2nd, celebrate Jesse. It's his 40th birthday. Have him in mind. Say a little prayer.
Woo!
And remember, if you have a tough decision in your adult life, just think, how would an emotionally immature, reckless 14-year-old behave? And just do that. And it's worked out for me up to now. So that's my advice.
There you go.
For listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
I'm all about regressing.
Relevant Podcast Network.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.